Wednesday, August 26, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you are going to get anywhere else. If you want to be a little more informed, if you want more of a common sense approach to sports than you get in other places, tune in and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Podcast Republic. Pretty much any place that podcasts are out there, you can find us there. If you would like to contact me, you can hit me on Twitter at Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. You can find me on Twitter, and I'll live tweet some stuff. I'll tweet some games. I'll tweet out some articles, stuff like that. If you would like to spice up that Facebook feed that you have that is probably getting boring and you are tired of hearing about how that one clown you went to school with is going to Olive Garden tonight, feel free to add us, Daily Dose Sports on Facebook. You can add us and follow us on there. Just like us. Just click like and you will get some articles. You'll get some updates. You'll get a few different things. If you would like to head over to our website, DailyDoseSports.wordpress.com. You can head over there. You know, we have a few things. We have new articles that go up every week. And we've got college football previews. We are previewing every single conference and every team within those conferences of all the big, you know, the big dog conferences that are out there. You can head over to our website and check out those articles. I think you'll like it. I've had some decent feedback. If you'd like to email the show, dailydosesports@gmail.com. I have a couple of emails that I'm going to read this week that we will work in, just a couple things that I have received that I thought I might want to pass along to all of you. This week, got a lot of NFL stuff. I'm even going to give you a few fantasy tips that you will want to keep in mind. It's almost fantasy football time. Football season is getting here. We've got college football coming up next week. The NFL is now halfway through its preseason, so we've got a lot of football stuff to get to. Going to try to get to a few things Major League Baseball-wise, a couple of the races that are going on in there. Going to talk some college football today. I've got a few things I want you to keep in mind college football-wise. Next week will be our college football preview, our college football spectacular. You do not want to miss that. And, of course, today we have our Daily Dose Top 5. You do not want to miss that. Trust me, that is a very popular segment. I always get comments on the Daily Dose Top 5. Couple things coming out today. Couple things breaking news-wise. You might have saw that the Houston Astros hung 15 on the New York Yankees last night. There's been talk maybe the Astros are going to start to decline. Maybe they're going to start to fall apart. Maybe the Rangers can catch them. They put 15 on the Yankees last night. Gets a little bit heated. Gets a little bit testy. Have the Astros scored 15 in the whole season? They did it in one night. One thing that is a little bit interesting to me, the St. Louis Cardinals, I mean, and we've talked a little bit about the Cardinals. The Cardinals have now won 80 games. They have won 80 games this year. And it's what? Late August, and they've already won 80? And they still haven't put away the Pirates and the Cubs. Pirates and the Cubs are still lurking. They're still back there. I don't know that they can really, overtake the Cardinals, but you would think 80 wins by now, you're probably sitting in really, really good shape. Just kind of some races to kind of keep an eye on, right there. A couple things coming out in the world of sports. The Denver Broncos yesterday, of course, I'm in Denver, signed offensive lineman Evan Mathis to a one-year deal. Mathis was engaged in a little bit of a contract dispute with the Philadelphia Eagles, and they didn't want to resign him, so they just cut him. He wanted to renegotiate his deal. They just cut him. The Denver Broncos, I feel like, and we're going to have our NFL preview here in a few weeks, the Broncos, I feel like, have a very, very good football team in general. Pretty strong at almost every area except that offensive line. That offensive line really scares me. And in fact, they've got a second-year man playing center. They've got two rookies playing on the left side of that offensive line with Max Garcia and Ty Sombrero. They've got some young guys. So they bring in Evan Mathis, one-year deal. Evan Mathis is a very, very good offensive lineman. He's a little bit goofy. He's kind of crazy, as some of those offensive linemen are. But Evan Mathis is very, very good. He could solidify that Denver Bronco front. Pretty good get by John Elway, pulling him in. Did you watch Hard Knocks last night? Did you watch Hard Knocks? which is slowly turning into like the J.J. Watt show, because it seems like every single thing they do, the camera's just going to pan over to J.J. Watt and we're going to see his reaction. But it was kind of interesting watching that. They had some, you know, the rookie skits, and they showed a little bit of their preseason game that was played actually against Denver. It was interesting to me, though, because I'm watching, you know, their coach, Bill O'Brien, and he is talking about, you know, you guys just don't look like you're having fun. You just don't look like you have much energy. You just don't look like, you know, we're out there playing, with much of a motor today. You're just kind of, you know why they look like that? Because they're not very good. That's why they look like that. That's why the Texans don't look like they're having much fun, because they're not very good, because they don't have any playmakers. They've got J.J. Watt and a bunch of who knows who they are. Quarterbacks are terrible. They were showing last night J.J. Watt catching passes because, you know, he might play some tight end. He might have to play some tight end. They were also showing that they have that cornerback. Is it Charles James or something? And they were running him at running back. That's where they're at. They're starting to take defensive players and move them over to the offensive side of the ball because they don't have any offensive weapons. Yeah, they're not having fun. That's what happens when you're not very good. Hard Knocks. Always, always interesting. A few other moves around the NFL. You might have saw Michael Vick signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, he's probably kind of at the end of his run, but maybe you bring him in just for the two-point conversion. Maybe you bring him in just as a backup quarterback kind of situation. I don't know. We'll talk more about Michael Vick going to Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh Steelers here in a little bit. You might have also saw that the New England Patriots signed wide receiver Reggie Wayne. I thought that was interesting, and I think this is one that has gone a little bit under the radar with the New England Patriots, because everything obviously with the Patriots, we're talking about Brady, we're talking about, you know, all that mess that they have back there. But when they signed Reggie Wayne, let me just give you a little insight into them signing Reggie Wayne. That to me smells a little bit of desperation by the Patriots. And I'm not saying they're going to be bad this year. I'm not saying that they're completely desperate, but when you look at their situation at wide receiver, Julian Edelman out hurt. They say he'll be back by the start of the season. Brandon LaFell's out hurt. Aaron Dobson's out hurt. They're running out of people. Now, just again for a little bit of insight, last year when the Denver Broncos were getting to face the Indianapolis Colts in the playoff game, I had to go through some film and writing some articles and stuff. I had to write some stuff about Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne doesn't have anything left, folks. Reggie Wayne's not a very good wide receiver anymore. Can't create separation. Can't get open. If they're signing him, that tells me a little bit. And I know that everyone's like, well, Belichick will sign him and he'll get something out of him. I don't think he will. I don't think Reggie Wayne has anything left. And that's just a fact. Did you see Southern Cal over the weekend? Head coach of USC, Steve Sarkisian, got himself liquored up and wandered up on the stage at some sort of like a donor event or something. And had a few pops and got up there rolled out some F-bombs and insulted some of their rivals. And then, you know, yelled, fight on, you know, just all liquored up, acting like a complete idiot. And now, so then they brought him, like Pat Hayden, the athletic director back at USC, brings him in on Sunday and like scolds him and gives him the, hey, don't ever do that again. You're embarrassing us and that kind of thing. But then on Monday and Tuesday, we've started to see some people, some boosters. Hey, maybe Sarkisian should be fired. Maybe Sarkisian should be suspended. Maybe Sarkisian has a problem. He said that he had mixed medication with alcohol and that he would seek treatment, but he was kind of vague about what treatment he would have or what medication he had or what alcohol he had. And now there's people, what if he has got a pretty serious problem? What if Sarkisian, I mean, if he has a drinking problem? He's a drug problem. He's mixing these two things. He's mixing medication and alcohol. Whatever happened to just stupid? Whatever happened to a guy just being dumb? I think that's exactly what this is here. We don't have to have something wrong with every single person that does something stupid. It doesn't necessarily mean that he has this medical issue he's actually got this disorder. He's got a disorder that he's got to get fixed. What if he's just dumb? What if he just got liquored up, got out there and blah, 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 fight on, and it's just a big idiot? Have you noticed that today in America, we can't just have stupid anymore. Everything has to be a disorder. Everything has to be an issue. He really needs to get into rehab. No, he doesn't. Just stop being dumb. He's embarrassed himself. I don't even know that he needs any further punishment. He's embarrassed himself. He's embarrassed his family. He's embarrassed his program. Do you really need any further punishment? What's that going to do for you? I don't know if that's going to do anything. Goodness, I get tired of this kind of nonsense. Just dumb. Yes, he did something stupid. And that's exactly what it was. Something stupid. Nothing more, nothing less. Pretty easy. Did you see the Atlanta Falcons signed quarterback Rex Grossman? If you want to have some free money where you really, you don't have to be good at your job. Be a weatherman or be a very, very average, mediocre quarterback, because you will always, always get work, it seems. We need to jump in. Enough of the breaking news stuff. We need to jump in. Like I said, college football previews are out on our website. If you head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com, you can see we've put up the ACC so far. Got some outlooks for each of the teams in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Have our preview up for the Big Ten. If you're wondering how the Big Ten is going to be, check that out. Head over there. You can take a look at the website and see how I think the Big Ten is going to go. I have another one coming out. I think the Big 12 is coming out tomorrow. Stop by the website. You might want to check those out. I got an email this week from Josh, and my email says, "Hey, my boss is a big Wisconsin fan, and I read him your outlook for his Badgers." You might not know this, but when you're talking about Wisconsin, it's pronounced Badgers. So he read the outlook to his boss about the Badgers. He laughed, but now I wonder if he's going to fire me. Josh, thanks for the email. Yeah, he probably is going to fire you, but understand this. It has nothing to do with my outlook. It has nothing to do with the Daily Dose college football preview. It probably has more to do with your poor work habits and the fact that you're bringing him college football stuff when you're supposed to be working. So don't stop reading the Daily Dose at work. I'm not saying that. But you might want to actually mix in some actual work too, and not, you know, maybe take it to him, or maybe you show it to him after work, or do something like that. Yeah, you probably will get fired for messing around if he's talking about that. Next week, like I said, next week on the show, on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, we will do our college football preview. We will have some conference outlooks. We'll talk a little bit about some Heisman candidates. I've got some coaches that you're going to want to hear. There's a few coaches that I think are on the hot seat. They might want to win, or they're going to get themselves in a little bit of trouble. I told you last week, there's a few teams that I'm looking at when I was going through and doing these previews. There's a few teams that I'm looking at that they might be just a little bit under the radar. They're not teams that you traditionally think of as being teams that could be pretty good this year. And don't misunderstand. Things have to kind of break right for them to kind of get through and get to the spot that I think they could get to. But there's a couple teams here. I'm going to read you a couple of teams here. And you want to just keep an eye on them. Because like I said, they're not traditional powerhouse college football teams. In fact, they're teams that you kind of go, really? First team I'm going to give you, college football team, little under the radar, that if you keep an eye on, if things break right, they could be pretty good. Pretty good. First team out of the ACC, North Carolina. And yes, they're probably paying their players. They're probably taking tests for their players. But UNC could be a team to watch. You know, they return 10 starters on offense. And they've got a quarterback back there, Marquise Williams. He's pretty good. If this kid stays healthy, the Tar Heels, I think, can outscore anyone in that conference. Now, I don't know if they can stop anyone, but they can outscore anyone in that conference. Last season, Marquise Williams set a single-season record for total offense. He can beat you with his arm. He's got a big arm, and he's kind of, I hate to give you this comparison, but he kind of reminds you a little bit of Jameis Winston, just in his size. I'm not talking about, you know, being an idiot or doing the stupid things that Winston did, but I mean just size-wise. He's a big, strong kid. He can just flick the ball, and it just seems like it travels 40 yards. But he can also beat you with his legs. He's a little more, I guess, athletic than Winston is. He can hurt you in a few different ways. Their head coach, Larry Fedora, you might remember Fedora had coached a little bit under Urban Meyer down at Florida. Larry Fedora, the problem with UNC has not been their offense, it's been their defense. And Fedora kind of got sick of their defense just giving up points. I think they gave up 39 points a game or some ridiculous thing last year. So he went and he hired former Auburn coach, you know, the head coach that was at Auburn when they won the championship with Cam Newton, Gene Chizik, to run the defense. Now, Chizik is a very, very good defensive coordinator. I know he ended up getting fired at Auburn and having the issues down there, but he'll install that 4-3 that he runs, and they will start putting some pressure on quarterbacks that they haven't done in the past years. Chizik could get this Carolina defense to come around a little bit, and if he does, look out, because like I said, what they can do on offense is pretty impressive. And now, I understand, yeah, Chizik is probably cutting, you know, we remember him paying Cam Newton and in that bidding war for Cam Newton down at Auburn. But this might be a perfect spot for him at UNC. Because UNC is not above paying their athletes. UNC is not above cheating a little bit. I mean, UNC, North Carolina, somehow got old deputy dog himself, Roy Williams, to do some cheating while he's been back there. So this might be a perfect spot for Gene Chizik. Last year, the Tar Heels went 6-7. And I'm looking at their schedule this year, they could win 10 games. If things fall right and they stay healthy, and I know that's across the board, that's kind of but if key players stay healthy for them, North Carolina Tar Heels could win 10 games this year in college football. Let me give you another team to keep an eye on. Another team I just want you to keep in the back of your mind. And they're from the Big Ten, and I know what's going on in the Big Ten. When you think of the Big Ten, you're going to think of Ohio State and what Urban Meyer has done there and reviving Ohio State and reviving the Big Ten. You're going to think probably of Michigan and Jim Harbaugh coming back to Michigan and the job that he is, you know, hopefully going to do for Michigan. Maybe you think a little bit of a Michigan State or, I don't know, a Penn State. I'm going to give you a team that's not on your list. The Minnesota Golden Gophers. I know it's Minnesota. I know it's Minnesota. But head coach Jerry Kill has kind of turned this team into like this tough, efficient team. They play good defense. They run ground, you know, ball control offense. You know, it's not a lot of high scoring. It's not that. But they went 8-5 last year. And don't forget, Minnesota gave Ohio State all they wanted. They lost by a touchdown, 31-24. Very, very close. They actually just lost out to Wisconsin for the Big Ten West in the last week of the season. They're going to run the ball. Like I said, they're going to run the ball. They're going to be effective with a short passing game, and they're going to play tough defense. They've got a quarterback, Mitch Leidner, and he's got to be a little bit quicker making decisions. He's got to be a little bit better out of play action and finding the open guy. Minnesota has something. Now, they're going to have to replace two players. They've got to replace running back David Cobb. They've got to replace tight end Max Williams, and those are key components for them to be good this year. But the good news is they are returning seven starters from a defense that was ranked 33rd in the nation last year. Don't get me wrong on this. Minnesota is going to play boring, ugly, probably horrible football to watch. And it's going to be those games that, you know, you wake up at least back here Mountain Time, you turn on the TV on Saturday morning, and they start at like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's Minnesota playing like, you know, Michigan or whatever. And it's going to be boring, and it's going to be painful. But if you can stick through and watch a few of their games, they might win 9 or 10 of them. Minnesota could be pretty tough this year. Keep an eye on them. One last team I'm going to give you. And this one's a little bit different. Team out of the SEC. But this team, the two teams before, North Carolina and Minnesota, they're kind of never have-beens. I mean, maybe back in the, I don't know, Civil War days, Minnesota did something. But this team used to actually be pretty good. They haven't been very good lately at all. As opposed to never have-beens, these are kind of the has-been, I guess. The Tennessee Volunteers. Keep an eye on Tennessee. You know, Tennessee was the youngest team in the country last year. Now, I know everyone says that. Have you noticed that's kind of the new stat to throw out? Well, we were the youngest team in the country. If you take the date of our players on exactly October 3rd, then we were the youngest. Yeah, I know. But Tennessee was one of the youngest teams in the country last year, and depending on who you believe. But, you know, they return 17 starters from a team that went 7-6 last year. And don't forget, Tennessee crushed Iowa in the Gator Bowl. I know it's not called the Gator Bowl anymore. It's called something stupid. I forget the dumb contract that it is, but it's the Gator Bowl. We all know what it is. Now, 7-6 doesn't sound that impressive, but here's their record over the past few years. 5-7 in 2013, 5-7 in 2012, 5-7 in 2011. Are you seeing a trend? 6-7 in 2010, 5-7 in 2008. I mean, this is a team that has just a little below average the last few years. They went 7-6 last year. So of course the fans in Knoxville are getting fired up. Of course they're getting excited, you know, to sing Rocky Top and wear their popsicled colored jerseys and stuff. The offense should be a little bit better. They've got junior quarterback Joshua Dobbs. He's a pretty athletic kid, and he started to get more and more snaps as the season went on last year. They've also got a running back named Jalen Hurd that I want you to keep an eye on. And yes, I'm going to tell you right up front, white running back alert. Don't say you didn't know. White running back alert. This kid's a beast. And he's not the stereotypical white running back. Because I know when I say that, I know right now you're thinking, oh, they got Mike Allstott? Not exactly. This is a strong kid, don't get me wrong, but this is a kid that can fly. Last year, 899 yards and 5 touchdowns, and he's just going to get more and more carries this year. Keep an eye on Jalen Hurd. Remember, you heard it here first. The defense was already pretty stout last year. Their defense allowed just 24 points a game with some very, very young kids. The key for Tennessee, though, to me, is that the SEC East is very, very winnable. I don't know who's going to come out of that SEC East. I mean, you've got Georgia, who probably has the most talent year in, year out. You've got Florida, who is struggling a little bit as of late, and they've, you know, got the new coach and all that kind of stuff. You've got Missouri, who somehow keeps winning the SEC East, despite every single year we go, well, this year they won't win it. Missouri keeps finding a way to get it done. So I don't know. Tennessee at least has a shot in that SEC East. Now, I realize when you turn on the Tennessee game and you see them, you're going to see their head coach, Butch Jones. And yes, he looks a lot like Sergeant Carter from Gomer Pyle. And there is a chance. I'm not going to say there's no chance. There is a chance that his head might actually explode on the sideline. But if Tennessee gets by Oklahoma at home on September 12th, look out, because Tennessee might be pretty good. And Tennessee could give some trouble to some teams in the SEC and at least have a shot. They're not gonna probably win the SEC, but they at least have a shot in the SEC East, which is the weaker division of the two. Let's talk a little bit about some quarterback controversies going on over in college football. Because there's a few teams in college football that you know, you might not be aware of, that they're trying to decide on a quarterback. And you know the old saying that if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. You can't have that platoon system. I don't know if I agree with that saying, because, I mean, think about it. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no. The Buffalo Bills have three quarterbacks, and they still have no quarterback. The Chicago Bears just have one quarterback. And they still don't have a quarterback, but I understand what you're saying. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. A couple teams that are going to have to make a decision with who's going to get the playing time, who's going to get all the reps. And the first team, probably the biggest one on the list, is Ohio State. I mean, don't forget that last year, Ohio State won the national championship with their third-string quarterback, Cardale Jones. He's a big, strong kid. You know, he could run a little bit, not afraid to lower his head and run through people. Reminds you a little bit of a Tim Tebow running that Urban Meyer kind of system. Or you have JT Barrett, who is a little bit more of the traditional passer. Jones has the stronger arm. He can chuck it a long ways. He's a big, strong kid. Barrett is more of the accurate passer. And I think what's going to happen with Ohio State is I think that Urban Meyer will find a way to play both of them. I just think Cardale Jones is going to get the majority of the snaps. And then he'll probably, you know, he's a senior. He'll go on to the NFL and then he'll eat himself out of the NFL, because you can already see with Cardale Jones, oh, it's coming. He's going to be 400 pounds in just a few years. And I'll tell you why in just a second. Barrett is going to get snaps this year. Barrett is going to get significant snaps this year. And don't be surprised to see him in clutch times taking snaps under center. I just think Jones is going to get more snaps. And I'm going to tell you why he's going to get more snaps in just 1 minute. One other team, again, that we may not traditionally think of, you know, having quarterback controversy kind of thing, got to keep an eye on Alabama. Last year at this time, you know, they got the transfer in from Florida State, Jake Coker, and it looked like he was going to be Alabama's starting quarterback. That looked like a done deal. Jay Coker is going to be the guy. He's going to be the starting quarterback down in Alabama. He's taken over. But then senior Blake Sims came in. I mean, he played pretty well. He had 28 touchdowns. He took Alabama to, what, the Final Four? Yes, they got knocked off. Yes, they got beaten in the final game. But he did a pretty good job. Now, you would think it would be Coker's job. Coker is a senior. Coker is the guy with the experience. Coker is the guy that has played in the system. But everyone is saying that this freshman, David Cornwell, has looked really, really good. So what does a coach do in this situation? And I tell you this because just coaching experience, there's a couple things that you see as a coach. See, I'm not looking at this. If you're Nick Saban, well, who knows what in the world Nick Saban's doing? He's probably sharpening his pitchfork and heating up the coals for people. But if you're Nick Saban, you can't just pick your quarterback based on is it Coker or is it Cornwell? That's not what I'm looking at. It's not just that, because see, this decision is going to affect all 70 kids. This decision is going to affect the morale of all 70 kids. And I have to think about that. So I can take the young kid, the young freshman that's coming in and he's kind of brand new, but he hasn't been in the program. He hasn't put in his time. And as a result, if I take maybe the more talented kid, but the kid that hasn't put in his time, I might lose 60, 65 of those kids, because the rest of them say, wait a minute, that guy put in his time. How is Coker not the starter? He's a senior. So what you do is you play the senior who might not be as talented as the freshman, but you start the senior, you play the senior, and if needed, you bring in the freshman in spot duty here and there. You've got the future with the freshman. He's going to have to come back for at least another year or two. We know that. But you got to start the senior for the good of the rest of the 70 other kids. Because otherwise, you start getting kids say, wait a second, I've been playing here, I'm a senior, am I going to lose my job to this punk freshman too? You start to lose your locker room, you start to lose some of your kids. I would expect Nick Saban to probably go with the senior. We'll keep an eye on that one. Last one I'm going to give you, quarterback controversy we've got just a little bit. And that is down at the University of Oklahoma. They've got two quarterbacks that have some similarities. They have some difference. Baker Mayfield is kind of the favorite, but he didn't get the time last year. Last year, the Sooners went with Trevor Knight. The problem is that Knight struggles sometimes to get the team moving. He struggles sometimes to get the offensive going. It seems like there are times that Knight, a lot of three and outs, a lot of just struggles to really get any continuity, a lot of he's struggling to get drives put together. Whereas Mayfield can be a little more exciting. He's a little more confident. And he also turns it over a lot. Although, to be fair, Trevor Knight turned it over a lot on his own. Remember, he threw those pick sixes against TCU and K-State in clutch times. Oklahoma's got a decision to make. I think they'll go with Mayfield and bring in Knight. You know, they're both juniors. Bring in Knight off the bench if he's needed. Both of these guys have to learn how to take care of the football, though. They just turn it over too much. And I worry a little bit about this. I would have probably Oklahoma rated a little bit higher than I do, if not for you've got this decision to make at quarterback, and we know that sometimes, let's just say Bobby Stoops has a little bit of a problem making good decisions. Not all the time, but sometimes he does. Don't forget, like I said, next week on the podcast will be our college football preview, and make sure you check the website. Big 10 or Big 12 is coming out tomorrow. If you would like to see how those Oklahoma Sooners are going to do, check out the website tomorrow, dailydosports.wordpress.com. You can see where exactly I have the Oklahoma Sooners coming in. Let's shift over to the NFL, because of course the big news this week was the injuries. That was the big news out of the NFL. More on that just a little bit later. But the Green Bay Packers lost wide receiver Jordy Nelson, and it looks like he is probably gone for the season with a torn ACL. Now, in that same game, the Pittsburgh Steelers, this was actually Steelers versus Packers in this game, the Steelers lost center Marquise Pouncey. And I really think that Pouncey is probably a bigger loss for the Steelers than Nelson is for the Packers. Do you remember back in 2013, a couple years ago, the Steelers' offensive line was kind of banged up. They had some people out. They had some people getting hurt. Ben Roethlisberger had lost his center. He had lost a guard. He had lost a couple people. And he was forced to do so much more trying to keep plays alive with his legs and just trying to carry that offense. He ended up having, he had 28 touchdowns, but I think he had 14 interceptions, which is pretty high for him. He was sacked 42 times. He got knocked around quite a bit. The Steelers have to be hoping this isn't the same story this year, because without a very, very good center in Pouncey, and Pouncey ended up with a broken, I think, fibula. He's going to have surgery to have that fixed. He's going to be out a while. I don't know if it's going to be the full year. It's going to be a good chunk of the year, if not. It could be the same story again. It could be the same story this year, where Roethlisberger is just forced to do so much. Nelson, Jordy Nelson, a little bit easier to replace, and I'm not saying he's replaceable completely, but Aaron Rodgers is capable of kind of creating a few guys that are going to pick up that slack. They're not going to have that kind of rapport that Nelson and Rodgers had together. They just kind of had, they were just clicking. You could tell they just had some chemistry going there. It's not like that. But it isn't like Green Bay doesn't have receivers. I mean, you've got Randall Cobb. You've got Devontae Adams. You've got some people that are capable physically of stepping up. Now you just actually have to get them to step up, and you're going to have Rodgers find someone to go to. So with all those injuries, two major injuries to two major players for two teams that, let's be honest, could be contenders this season, we have our story out of Washington, D.C. Because meanwhile in Washington, Jay Gruden, head coach of the Washington Redskins, and the rest of the Washington coaching staff, they were actually trying to get their quarterback, Robert Griffin, killed last Friday against the Lions. The Lions were killing Griffin. Sacked him three times, forced two fumbles from him. And the best part of the whole thing was that Gruden wouldn't pull him out. He just left him in there. He was just until almost halftime. Now, I want you to think about this for just one second. And I understand this is a little bit different of a situation, because you've got Washington trying to get a team built. You've got them, they've been kind of dogs for a while. They're trying to get things going. Can you imagine a team like the Broncos or something with Peyton Manning, and he's in there and the offensive line isn't doing a very good job, and Gary Kubiak's just like, hey, leave him in there. He's got to learn. And he's just getting decked and just getting hammered and just getting sacked all the time. Can you imagine Belichick doing that with like Brady? Just like, nah, leave him in there. He's got to learn. But that's what they did. That's what Washington did with Robert Griffin. Now, understand a little bit of the backstory here. Apparently, Griffin is in good with the Washington owner, Daniel Snyder. And as a result, Snyder has kind of told Gruden, you're playing Griffin whether you want to or not. I know you maybe would rather go to like a Colt McCoy or, Kirk Cousins or somebody, but you're going to play Robert Griffin. So Gruden leaves him in there just getting bum rushed on every single play. And his comment after the game was, well, we've kind of just got to get a little bit tougher. Really? That's what this was? He needs to get tougher? I don't know if this has anything to do with toughness, and I don't remember anyone doubting RG3's toughness a few years ago when he hurt his knee under Shanahan and he wanted to keep coming in and continue to play. I don't know if toughness is the issue. I have some questions about RG3's head sometimes. I think sometimes he's not very smart. I don't think he always makes very good decisions. There are times he could get down and avoid a big hit or get out of bounds or throw things away, and he doesn't do that. But I don't know about, he seems like he's a pretty tough kid. The good news. So he ended up leaving just before halftime. RG3 ended up leaving the game with concussion symptoms. They say it wasn't anything serious. That's what you always say if it's not, you. But they say that he will be ready for week one, so that he will be able to get hurt again in week one, which is great news for the Washington team. Did you see Chris Carter's video? You might remember Hall of Fame wide receiver Chris Carter, played with the Eagles, played with the Vikings, had a Hall of Fame career. Great career. He had to apologize this week after there was video of him speaking at the 2014 NFL Rookie Symposium. And the video kind of got out, and then it just kind of went viral and blew up. And in the speech he's giving to the rookies, so what the NFL does is they say, hey, we've got our class of rookies coming in, and they need some wisdom. They need some wisdom from some former players. So the former players come in and they say, hey, you need somebody to, here's what you're going to do with your practices. And here's how you're going to handle, you know, maybe some ideas on how to handle your money. And you want to make sure that you buy these kind of things, because if you buy these kind of things, it's going to drain your money. And here's how you deal with family and friends that are going to want to take your money. And they give them kind of, you know, that orientation to the league and to dealing with all the things that come with being in the NFL. So Chris Carter gets up. Last season, not this season, Chris Carter gets up there and he says in his speech, he tells the rookie that they need to have a fall guy for when they get in trouble. They need to have a fall guy. Got weed? Well, it was mine. It was his. It's my fall guy here. You get a DUI? Oh, I wasn't driving. I wasn't driving. My fall guy here. He was the driver. We switched seats real quick. He was driving. Unwanted pregnancy? It's not my baby. It looks just like, well, that's a bad example. Never mind. Scratch that one. Did he mention that the fall guy should probably also be white? Because I think that would probably help in the fall guy situation as well. Make sure you have the white guy. Because, you know, as Dave Chappelle said, somebody's going to have to talk to the police. I don't know. I wonder if he threw that one out there as well. I know Chris Carter was just, you know, keeping it real, and he was just trying to talk about, you know, talking to these kids about how things really are. Don't talk to them about, hey, you might want to watch the people you hang out with. You might want to be very, very careful about being out late because things, you know, bad things happen when you're out. You might want to be very, very careful about being out in public and putting yourself in bad situations where bad things could occur. No. Don't tell them that stuff. They don't need to know that stuff. Just tell them to get a fall guy for when things go bad. Because what he's basically telling you rookies, you need to understand, is you're clearly too stupid to stay out of trouble, so at least be smart enough to have someone to tag it on. Then you'll at least avoid some of the trouble. Because you're clearly too dumb to just avoid the trouble. If I am sitting in that thing, I'm insulted. I mean, the players sitting in there, the Teddy Bridgewaters and the guys sitting in there, you should be absolutely insulted that he thinks you're so stupid, you can't stay out of trouble. So instead of staying out of trouble, just find someone else to tag it on. I know. Chris Carter was just keeping it real, talking about how things really, really are. Yeah, keeping it real dumb. Carter, of all people, of anyone that would get up in front of that audience, Chris Carter should know better than anyone. You know, Chris Carter was a Pro Bowl wide receiver with Philadelphia Eagles. He was playing, you know, with Randall Cunningham. He was playing for Buddy Ryan. He was putting up huge, huge numbers. But he actually was drinking so much and using so much illegal drugs that Buddy Ryan one day just had enough. And even though he was an all-pro wide receiver, even though he was a young stud coming up, Buddy Ryan just cut him. Just cut him. Just one day. Nope, you're not on the team anymore. You're cut. Cut him. And when it came out, he kind of said, drug use, alcohol use, I had to get rid of him. He can't be around this team anymore. He's too dangerous to be around this team. Now, Chris Carter has said, that's what woke me up. That got my attention. Because now I had to explain to everyone in my life why I was doing what I was doing. Why I got cut. How are you out of a job? Suddenly you are jobless. You don't have a job in the NFL anymore. And he had to explain that. And you know, Chris Carter today, he ended up cleaning himself up. He ended up getting on with the Vikings, becoming one of the great wide receivers in NFL history. He credits Buddy Ryan with saving his life. Not just changing his career, but saving his life. He says, if not for Buddy Ryan doing that, I probably would not be here. And that's the advice you give? Get a fall guy? Come on, man. You're better than that, aren't you? Now, you know, I got another email here that I got to read to you. I got an email from Brian J. It says, hey, our fantasy draft is next week. Do you have any tips for my fantasy team? I do have some tips that I wanted to share with all of the listeners out there that tune in every week. I wanted to give you a few fantasy team tips, and I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fantasy guy, and based on some of these tips, I'll tell you why I'm not a huge fantasy guy. But I wanted to give you some tips because I know one of the reasons that the NFL is so big, the NFL football is so big, especially in the U.S., is because of fantasy sports. It really is. People love having that rooting interest because it's the NFL isn't just regional. Like with baseball, baseball is a regional sport. If you're in, you know, St. Louis, you cheer for the Cardinals. And if you're in San Francisco, you cheer for the Giants. And if you're out in New York, you cheer for, you know, the Yankees, you cheer for the Mets, whatever. Football isn't that way. Like if there is a Monday night football game on and it's a big game, it's Packers versus Vikings in week four, you're turning it on and you're watching it. And some of the reason is because of fantasy sports. I understand that. I get that. I've got Adrian Peterson. I've got to tune in tonight. I want to see how he does. You know, I'm hoping I need big points tonight because I did okay yesterday, but I need some big points tonight. Fantasy sports kind of drives a little bit of our huge audience that we have for professional football today in America. It just does. And so Brian J. writes in and asks if I have any tips for his fantasy team. Of course, I'm going to break down some tips for the fantasy team. Let me put together a few here for you. First off, and maybe this is what kind of drove me out of doing a lot of. I used to do like every fantasy league that came along. I would kind of do them. Hey, you want to get in the fantasy league? Yeah, whatever. Here's $10. Whatever. And did pretty well. I mean, won a few leagues. But here is one piece of advice. If you want to, you know, get a pencil, write this down. Don't draft players that you hate. That is one free piece of advice I'm going to give you. Now that might not seem like a big deal. Might not seem like a big deal at all. But if you draft a player you hate, you end up becoming kind of torn on, do I want this player to do well who I don't like? I mean, now you've kind of got to go through and you've kind of got to be selective. And when you're putting together your draft list, you've got to kind of make sure. Now, if Tom Brady comes up, am I going to take him? Because, I'd really like to see him do poorly this year. Do I really want to take a guy like that? Do I want to skip him and go down to the next quarterback on my list who I like a little better? And then I'm not going to be torn in my allegiances. My advice to you, because that was the thing that started to bother me about fantasy league. I started to have to cheer for players and for teams I didn't like. I can remember clearly being, right around first or second place in one of my fantasy leagues. And I had Tim Brown at the time. And he was playing for the Raiders. And I was like, I need Tim Brown to have a huge night tonight. Oh, and he's playing the Broncos. Oh, perfect. Perfect. That's exactly what I need. So I'm telling you right now, go through, find the players you don't like and that you say, I hate. And maybe there's only two or three of them. You might not be someone that hates a lot of players. If there's certain teams or certain players that you're just like, I cannot cheer for those guys, weed them out of your fantasy draft list. Get them out of there. Number two. Thing that I would give you advice-wise, don't have any more than like two or three teams that you have fantasy teams. Like if you're getting into like the 5, 6, 10, 12, yeah, I got 12 different fantasy teams, I'm getting a little concerned about you, I guess is what I'm saying. You might have a little bit, is mental imbalance the word I'm looking for? Something like that. If you're playing that many fantasy teams, it's kind of like, remember when we talked about back in March Madness, we talked about how many different brackets did you fill out? And you say, well, yeah, in my 14th bracket, I definitely picked that upset. Yeah, well, yeah, who cares? You can really only like put in any attention and really be able to be good at like two or three at the most. If you're playing much more than that, either you have a lot of spare time, you're not really doing a good job, and you're probably wasting money throwing it into these or something. Or like I said, you've got a little bit something that you might want to get a team of like a therapist to look at you for, but two or three teams at the most. That's really the most you can do. Number three, don't have your draft prior to the final preseason game. And I know that gets kind of tough. That starts to get a little bit tight because a lot of you, I believe Brian said, our draft is next week. Well, here's the problem. You're going to have these Jordy Nelson situations. You're going to have the Marquise Pouncey situations that could greatly change the way you look at someone like Ben Roethlisberger. Is he going to have maybe Le'Veon Bell, someone like that? I would pick this player, but now with these injuries through preseason, that might tweak a little bit of what I'm going to do. That might change a little bit of what I'm going to do with my draft. I would encourage you, have your draft that weekend They usually play those last preseason games on like, you know, Thursdays and Fridays, and have your draft that weekend after those games, because you could have some cuts, you could have some injuries, you could have some people shifting around, and you don't want to get into your fantasy league that's going to last the full season and things be not what you thought they were. Try to delay that draft as long as you can and get into the closer to the regular season, so that at least you're drafting the people that you really do want. Last two I'll give you. First off, don't ever refer to your draft room as the war room. So, like, you're having all your buddies over to do your draft, and you're like, hey, everybody meet in the kitchen, because that's the war room, and I've got the, you know, the big whiteboard. It's not a war room. It's your kitchen. Don't say that. Don't say that. You're not a general. You are a tool. If someone does say it, and you can tell them that I said it's okay, if someone refers to like your living room or your dining room or whatever of your house as your war room, because that's where you're having your fantasy league draft, you have my permission. You can use this. You have my permission that you can punch them in the face, neck, or throat. And it's totally okay. That's you have free hits based on that. I don't know how legal any of this is, but I'm just telling you, you have my permission to punch them in the face, the neck, or in the throat for saying the words war room when referring to the room that you're conducting your draft in. Now, the last rule when it comes to Fantasy League, the last rule, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Whatever you do, make sure you abide by this rule. You can ignore the other four rules if you want to. I'm fine with you ignoring all the other rules on this draft, on the fantasy football tips that I'm giving you. I'm fine with it. If you just remember this one rule. Number one on my tips for fantasy football. Number one, without question, whatever you do, never talk to me about your fantasy football team, because I really don't care about it. And you know what? Neither does your wife, and neither does your coworker, and neither does your boss. It's big to you. Here's the way I would compare it. Like, have you ever tried to like write poetry? Now, to you, that might have been something really, really eloquent, and it might have been really something touching. And trust me on this, everyone else just kind of thinks you're a weirdo. So don't share that information. Just keep that information bottled up. Keep that inside, and you don't have to talk about your fantasy team. Trust me on this. You don't have to talk about your fantasy team. Nobody else cares. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. Like I said before, very, very popular segment. Whenever I get feedback, I'll get some emails, I'll get some tweets, I'll get some random things. I almost always hear about the Daily Dose top five, love the top five, disagree with the top five. I've had people that have written me, and we did a little bit over the summer where they said, just do shows of top fives. We try to do a good top five for you every single week. This week, we got something, you know, something a little relatable, something that's going on right now. We are going to count down the top five most brutal NFL preseason injuries. Now, when I talk about most brutal, I'm not necessarily talking about gruesome, although some of them were. I'm talking about impactful and preseason injuries that were just horrible. We have these every single year. We have somebody's getting injured in preseason in a meaningless scrimmage, in a meaningless practice. And you know, you look at Jordy Nelson, you look at Pouncey this year. Jordy Nelson wasn't even touched. The knee just gave out. It's not always controlled. It's not always where you said, well, if they weren't having contact, we wouldn't have these problems. Sometimes these things just happen. But I'm going to count down the top five NFL preseason injuries of all time. Here we go. Number five on our list. You might remember this one. 1999, Rams versus Chargers. You know, it's funny when you look back at this, because the St. Louis Rams in 1999, people were starting talking about the Rams. They had put together these pieces. They had put together some wide receivers. They had put together a pretty good offensive line. And their quarterback, Trent Green, was going to be the man to lead this, what became the greatest show on turf. But in a preseason game against the Chargers, he gets blasted by Rodney Harrison. That one was pretty gruesome. That one was pretty ugly. I'm sure there's probably clips out there that you're not going to want to see. Trent Green blows his knee out. And Dick Vermeil, the head coach of the St. Louis Rams, had to go to his backup a little known guy, a little known backup that really hadn't played much, hadn't played big time college football. We didn't know anything about. Trent Green went on the injured list, and out came Kurt Warner. And the rest, I guess, as they say, is history. Kurt Warner became one of the greatest quarterbacks, honestly, one of the better quarterbacks to ever play. Really, really good. Really, really smart. Understood exactly where to go with the ball and was absolutely unafraid to be blitzed. He encouraged teams to blitz him because he knew he could find the right guy and deliver the right pass. Trent Green goes out in 1999, lost his job, never did get his job back. Kurt Warner took it and kept it. Number four on our list, bad injuries in the NFL preseason. Same year, 1999. You might not remember this. Chris Spielman had put together a pretty good career. He had played with the Detroit Lions. He had had a good career with the Buffalo Bills as well. He actually had a neck injury in 1997. In 1998, his wife was undergoing cancer treatment, and so he took that season off and spent with his wife trying to help her through her cancer treatments. In 1999, Chris Spielman returned as a member of the Cleveland Browns. During a preseason game against the Bears, he actually sustained another neck injury. Pretty sad story. Spielman never played again. It just ended. Ended his career. Retired. He had to get out of it because they were saying that anything further on that neck could result in paralysis. Could result in some really, really bad things. Chris Spielman went through a really, really tough time through those years. That kind of ended it for him. Preseason game against the Bears, and that was kind of it for Chris Spielman. Number three on our list. Are you old enough to remember this one? You might not. This guy was a pretty good player, and he was only like two or three years into the league, and they were starting to say he was going to be a really, really good player coming down the stretch. Cornerback, kick returner, punt returner. He had actually asked his coach, "Can I return kicks and punts?" Because he was so quick. And when the Giants allowed Jason Sehorn in 1998 to return some kicks in a preseason game, they quickly regretted it because Jason Sehorn, like I said, he had begged to kind of start taking these kicks back, and they put him back on. And the first one he did, I think he broke it for like 25, 35 yards. And then the next one, he blew out his knee. And Jason Sehorn was never the same. He never had the same speed. He never had the same ability, the agility that he had had to cut and to find a receiver when the receiver was making his cut. He never fully got it back. It kind of ended Jason. He came back and he played a couple of seasons, but he was never the same as he had been before that. Jason Sehorn, our number three preseason injury, just one of those ones that kind of wrecked a career. Number two on our list, you might not know this one. Do you remember the old Police Academy movies and Moses Hightower and some of the beer commercials that Bubba Smith was in? Well, in 1972, he was playing for, at the time, the Baltimore Colts. And, back in these times, in the 70s, when you had the yard markers, you know how you're marking the first down with the sticks? And if you ever notice, when a play comes over to them, they drop the sticks and the sticks just fall flat and the line just goes straight to the ground. This is why. Because in a 1972 preseason game, Bubba Smith ran down a ball carrier into the sideline. And at the time, you just jammed the stick. The stick had the pointy end at the bottom of it. You jammed the stick, and the sticks just stayed straight up to mark the first down. He actually got tangled up in the chain, blew his knee out, tore his knee up. They say it's one of the worst knee injuries that they've seen in the NFL, all because he got caught in the chains of the yardage markers. He tore up his knee. He missed the full 72 season, ended up getting traded, getting moved around, never was the same. Bubba Smith went down in a preseason game and kind of a dumb injury, just getting tangled up in the yardage markers in a preseason game. Number one on our top five NFL preseason injuries, and this one is absolutely unforgettable, 1978. New England Patriots quarterback Steve Grogan. I know most of you Patriots fans, if you're listening, you just heard me say quarterback Steve Grogan. What? Who's Steve Grogan? The only quarterback I ever knew of was Tom Brady. There was another quarterback before Tom Brady. Yes, there was, and his name was Steve Grogan. Anyways, Steve Grogan throws a quick slant to a wide receiver by the name of Darrell Stingley. Stingley was hit immediately by Oakland Raiders safety Jack Tatum. Hard hit, it wasn't dirty. It wasn't like it got any flags. It wasn't anything gruesome or that you looked at and said, oh, that, you know, that could be something really, really significant. Not at all. He went down, but Stingley went down and he never moved again. It actually, the hit caused Stingley's spinal cord to compress. It broke his fourth and his fifth vertebrae. And Daryl Stingley would never walk again. He was a quadriplegic for the remainder of his life. He ended up passing away actually pretty early. Kind of a darker finish to that list. But those are our top five NFL preseason injuries. And you just don't know. Every time these guys strap it up, is that danger is always, always out there lurking. And sometimes, you know, things like this happen when you play a game like these guys play. There are preseason injuries out there that can always take place. Hey, if you get a chance, please head over to iTunes, give the podcast a rating and review. Give us that 5-star rating. Just write a quick review. It doesn't have to be anything big. Just, hey, love the podcast. That is perfect. That's all we need. But it helps get us ranked and helps us get a few more listeners. It gets us a little more visibility on iTunes. We would appreciate that so, so, so much. If you get a chance, like I said, go check out the website. College football previews are coming out. They're going to be coming out over the next week or two. And then we are going to go into some NFL divisional previews. And we're going to give you an idea of where I think each team is going to finish up the season. Next week, like I told you before, next week on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, college football preview. We will break down the conferences. We will break down some Heisman candidates. We will break down a few different coaching situations. We will take a look at who are going to be the big dogs in college football. The week after that, we're going to do the same thing with the NFL. We'll get you ready for football season like no other. We will also have a college football top five next week that you do not want to miss. As usual, have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do this without you. Appreciate so much of what you do. Would like to thank you all for listening. I really, really do appreciate it. I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.